7-1.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here. Got a banger of an episode today. We had a great one last week. Got great upcoming ones. Today we got my good friend Travis Pastrana. He is on the show. Great interview with Pastrana. I think you guys are going to love that. Dude has been on fire. Absolutely on fire this year so far, especially this summer. I mean, stage rally, rallycross, Nitro World Games, Pikes Peak Hill Climb, MX and Nations coming up, and then he also did the Evel Knievel jumps on History Channel. An amazing banner year for Travis Pastrana, and I am absolutely stoked to be able to catch up with him today on Project Action. Then before we get to that, we've got Dave Mason with BetOnline.ag. He is going to be talking about the McGregor fight, some of the lines in online betting right now, and definitely looking forward to chatting with him as well. Speaking of betonline.ag, you know, NFL, college football, the McGregor-UFC fight, greatest time of the year in sports. You don't have FOMO? Well, get in all the action with every wager line, prop bet, and more at betonline.ag. Take full advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1, that's PODCAST1, to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And so we got Dave Mason here from BetOnline.ag. Travis Pastrana, going to be a good one. If you missed the show last week, I suggest you go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, check it out. I've got Natalie Eva Marie. She's a new podcaster here at Podcast One. You know her from Total Divas. You know her from WWE. You know her from All Red Everything. Well, I got to tell you, her interview is straight fire on my website right now. That thing is lit up, getting thousands of downloads and clicks. People are enjoying it. Make sure and check it out. Her story is really, really rad. So make sure and check out that new podcast, Natalie Eva Marie, and her interview with me last week. Upcoming guests, man, right now here, we're lined up. We've got, I'm just trying to think in the next couple of weeks who we've got. We've got Eddie Braun from the movie Stuntman. Also, he is one of Hollywood's greatest stuntmen, but he was the one who recreated Evel Knievel's iconic Snake River Canyon jump. He is going to be on the show. We've got Victoria Arlen. You know her from ESPN. She also just wrote a book. She's going to be one of my guests. I've got my good friend Matt DeAndrea. You know him from the Adam Carolla's CarCast show. He's also got numerous podcast. He's going to be one of my upcoming guests as well. And then we've got my good friend Sean Whalen, motivational speaker, Instagram celebrity. He's also an author and an off-road racer. So I don't know. We are locked and loaded here on Project Action the next few weeks. So definitely a good mix of guests. You guys continue to support us. You continue to subscribe on iTunes. It is definitely helping us out. If you have subscribed, thank you. If you haven't yet, please go and do so. And please make sure and click that rating button, 1 through 5 stars. And if you leave a review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram at username in the body of the review and I see it, I will follow you back on social media. So it's the easiest way to get a follow from me is to review, subscribe, and rate over there on iTunes to Project Action, as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Make sure and check out the website, downanddirtyshow.com. You can always interact with me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at JimBeaver15. I got a Facebook group as well as a second Instagram account at Down and Dirty Show for my national radio show. So lots of good stuff happening here. Thank you guys for the continued support of the podcast. Right now, we're going to talk with Dave Mason of BetOnline.ag on the big fight this weekend. All right, I'd like to welcome one of my two guests today. First guest, Dave Mason, to the line with BetOnline.ag, big sponsor here of Podcast One as well as Project Action. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I know you guys there at betonline.ag, I gotta say, I know this weekend in particular is big. We got UFC 229, McGregor returning, but I'm just looking at the window here in the sports world, and we've got NFL just started. We've got NHL and NBA getting ready to kick off. We got Major League Baseball playoffs, And then we've got McGregor coming back. This is a massive, like, 30-day stretch for you guys.
Love it. All we're missing is basketball, and that kicks up in 2 weeks. So, yeah, it's such a good time of the year to be a sports fan and a bettor. There's just so much action. I mean, we were talking about our marketing meeting today. It's like it's hard to cover everything. It's just hard to promote everything because there's just so much going on. But, yeah, the fight, I mean, we're all real excited about the fight. Whenever there's a big fight, man, it's such a unique event, and this is going to be the biggest UFC fight ever as far as betting is concerned. I think they're going to break pay-per-view records, and the action we're getting coming in is going to shatter records for any MMA fight that we've ever offered.
Yeah, you know, and that's something I think about McGregor. I mean, this guy is a king of promoting fights, and I guess you know, for you there at Bet Online, I mean, I guess that's got to be something really, really awesome for you guys, because I mean, he goes out there, and you want to talk about a guy that knows how to sell. I mean, you know, he's been a salesman for years.
No, absolutely, and that's part of it when you're talking about fights. I mean, you look at somebody like crossing over to boxing, like Mayweather. I mean, how big his fights are. And then you look at him, it's like his fights are boring. Sure, if you're a boxing purist, you appreciate it, but his fights are so boring because he's such a defensive fighter. But his fights, you know, his fight with Conor was the biggest boxing match we ever did. His fight with Pacquiao was the second biggest. And probably out of the top 10 fights he's ever done, it would, 8 of them have been his fights. So, yeah, I mean, just the promotion in the fights is just so important. Nobody does it better than Conor, not in boxing and MMA. I mean, everybody wants to see what he's doing in his videos and what he's going to say next. And of course, he's an exciting fighter on top of that. So he always puts on a show, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, well, and not only that puts on a show, but the guy he's going up against, Khabib, I mean, he's got some legit competition here. I mean, you know, experts have, you know, I've been, you know, reading, you know, all the different websites and everything else. I mean, you know, this is the one guy. They got a little bit different fighting style, but I think that makes it even more interesting and brings a draw because it's not a walk in the park for McGregor this go-around.
Oh, no. I mean, McGregor's the underdog here, and I think rightfully so. I mean, Khabib is just a monster. He's undefeated. He's never lost. Has he fought the best of the best of the UFC? Probably not. He's had it pulled out of a couple fights, and his opponents pulled out a couple times, you know, more specifically Ferguson. So that's the only question mark there. You know, when you think Ian Quinta and Barboza are his best wins and Dos Anjos before Dos Anjos is really good, then it's like, okay, well, we haven't seen him against the best of the best. But, I mean, the guy impresses. He's never lost a round. He hit his ground and pound, and he's just so relentless. And then the guy's face, and, of course, you know, Conor's great. But, you know, I still question how he's going to do with a guy that's just so good on the ground and relentless and wrestler like Khabib. You know, Conor's still a little bit untested against those great wrestlers. Chad Mendes took him down easily, of course, a few years ago. Conor's stand-up takedown defense is a lot better now. Showed it against Eddie Alvarez, but Eddie Alvarez is nothing compared to what Khabib can do on the ground. So we'll see. Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. But yeah. I think Khabib is a rightful favorite. He's currently -165.
Yeah, well, and you know, in talking about that, I mean, McGregor, you know, and I don't know how, you know what I mean, I know a lot of it is, you know, how many people, you know, put down money on certain fighters. I mean, a lot of it, you know, you've got expert opinions that weigh into it. I mean, something like this, you know, with the lines that we're seeing and things like that, I mean, you know, people wonder, I think they're probably wondering about Conor too, a little bit of ring rust, right?
Yeah, I mean, some people are in that. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, though, I mean, the house, Bet Online, we're going to be humongous Khabib fans, and most of the bets are on Conor. I mean, Conor at plus money, he's such a big, you know, public draw. Bettors usually bet the underdogs to begin with on a fight like this. So, yeah, 82% of the bets are on Conor. I mean, this is going to be the biggest decision for us in an MMA fight in the history of Bet Online. That's going to, you know, if Conor wins, it will be our biggest loss on an MMA fight in the history of Bet Online. It will overtake Holly Holm defeating Ronda Rousey. So, yeah, I mean, ring rust is a little bit of a concern, I think. But that being said, I mean, the public is all over Connor. They're banking on Connor.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting one to watch. I mean, I'm looking at that, you know, fight coming up this weekend. I mean, obviously, you mentioned, I think, you know, as this airs, you know, on Thursday, I think we've got hockey kicking off. Obviously, we talked about NFL. I mean, if anybody wants to get, you know, go to betonline.ag, what's the easiest way for them to get into all this action?
Yes, sir. Just go on over to betonline.ag. Once again, that's .ag. We have all sorts of bonuses, and of course, for all your Podcast One listeners, we got a 50% sign-up bonus with promo code Podcast One. You get a 50% bonus on top of your deposit. And yeah, we got all the fights for this weekend. We have high limits. We have the earliest odds. You know, NHL. We have reduced juice to NHL World Series. We have dime lines up to -185. So we have it all covered for whatever you're betting on this weekend. We got it covered.
All right. So, Dave Mason, I mean, you know, obviously we've got Khabib and we've got McGregor. Who do you lean to? I mean, who do you think this is going to go all five rounds? We won't put you on the spot. Who you think is going to win? You think we're going to see a knockout or a submission, or you think it's going to go the full length?
Give me Khabib by submission. That's what I'm thinking. I'm on Khabib. I'm just going to wait. I think, you know, we had some sharp action on Khabib at -155. That's where we're sitting, -165. I mean, everybody thinks it's going to go lower. And I do too. Sometimes, I mean, the action is pouring in Connor, so you think that the odds are definitely going to go down, and they will, because this is going to be such a huge, huge need for the house. So I think the odds are going to go down, and I'm going to bet Khabib. If you're going to bet Connor, I wouldn't wait too long, because the odds are going to go down. 80% sure the odds are going to go down.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, Dave. You know, always great to have the insight there. I know I will be, you know, locked into my TV this weekend watching this thing unfold, and definitely have my bets there at betonline.ag.
Awesome. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. Big thanks to Dave Mason for taking the time to call in. Bring us in the latest on Khabib versus McGregor. You know, in NFL, college football, and the biggest UFC fight of the year, it is all happening. It's a sports fan's dream. Well, don't wait any longer to take advantage of your online wagers. Head over to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1, get a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's PODCAST1, and get 50% sign-up bonuses at betonline.ag. And speaking of the biggest fight of the year, Conor McGregor versus Khabib, Khabib, UFC, October 6th, Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena this weekend. All wagers, lines, props for this huge fight are at betonline.ag, and they've got you covered. Only place to get in all the action. Sign up today for a new account and get a 50% sign-up bonus using promo code PODCAST1. You don't want to miss out on all the action. McGregor, NFL, college football, one place to go, betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag, our exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. And you know, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what's it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what people paid for the car you want, including fees and accessories. Before you even get to the dealership, True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your True Price is a great price? Well, it's because True Car shows you what other people paid for that exact same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, let's talk about AMSOIL. You know the importance of using good synthetic oil in your power sports equipment. But what about your daily driver? Today's downsized turbocharged engines run hotter and create more engine-damaging contaminants than ever before. Yesterday's motor oil just doesn't cut it in today's engines. That's why you need AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. Teams in Monster Energy Supercross, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, and more rely on AMSOIL synthetic motor oil to protect their engines on the track and in the haulers that get them to the races, and so should you. AMSOIL's signature synthetic series motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by leading industry standards. It provides a next-level protection today's demanding engines need to keep running for years. Go to AMSOIL.com/beaver to find out how AMSOIL synthetic motor oil keeps your vehicle running great for tomorrow. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. The good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And speaking of rewarding things, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm about ready to reward you with an amazing interview with my good friend, Travis Pastrana. I'd like to welcome my good friend, Travis Pastrana, to the show. TP, it's been a while since we've caught up, buddy.
Yeah, it has been, man. Been out since the desert, I guess, in Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the last time we saw each other was in a bar in Gabs, Nevada. Now, we probably won't tell everybody what actually happened in the bar in Gabs, Nevada, but it was a good time anyways.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was a three-wheeler that came down the road, and I mean, technically, I won the bet.
Yeah.
Because I didn't break down. I got it there. It's just because the vehicle wouldn't start when you got in. That's your fault.
Yeah, I think I gave you a $100 bill, and I signed it, but I don't know. I think I still owe you a little bit of money on that one. So,
it was good, man. But, yeah, good to be on the show, though, for sure.
Yeah, that being said, I think the last time we talked, or we've texted here and there, but I've got a couple of random cashier's checks for like $3,000 for you sitting here in the office. And I can't even, I think we were talking about that. So I got to bring those to you in Maryland at some point, I guess. So I don't know. We got, I don't know, random stuff happening.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So no, dude, great to have you on the show. I know I've been meaning to catch up, but you're a hard man to catch up with, especially this summer. I know I'm going to miss something, but we start out, I mean, you've had Nitro World Games, you've done Pikes Peak, you've done some stage rally, you've obviously done some rally cross, now we got MX of Nations. I mean, I don't know if anybody can cram more stuff into like a 2 or 3 month period than you actually have.
No, without a doubt. I mean, honestly, last year was probably my best year all around. We were able to win the ARA championship against my, like, hero mentor David Higgins and teammate on Subaru Rally Team USA, and they landed a double backflip 360, which was kind of a trick that's literally taken me 10 years pretty much since the double backflip on dirt bikes in 2006. I've been trying this on BMX bikes and mountain bikes and trampolines and stuff, so that was good. Action Figures came out. It was awesome to just get full kind of creative control over that, and I worked with Cody Stoddard on kind of the editing side, and spent a month down in Australia, came back, got to race Pikes Peak, spec class, but it was freaking rad. Really cool. Hildebrandt, was awesome. Skiing, just talking crap the whole way up against these kind of, IndyCar drivers, road course drivers. And, Pikes Peak kind of feels more like a rally though, even though you don't, you memorize the whole course on the way up, and, spent a lot of time at Bilko's house on the simulator, the iRacing simulator, basically, and kind of memorized the hill. And I was actually 1.2 seconds faster in real life than the simulator. So I feel like maybe you need that speed factor, the fear factor to get it there. But and then, Nitro World Games, kind of a long time in the making, but just hit the go button. And it was a last second deal to get that rallycross course done. And man, everyone literally pooping out a gold meat. Anyway, sorry, not use that term, but they were scared to death of this jump. And I wanted it to be Nitro. I wanted it to be, the big air of action sports. And at the end of the day, these guys all came from all over. Matthias Ekstrom came over. And it was like my all-time hero as far as car driving, and Ken Block was there, and Arpin and those guys. And of course the DW guys came out, and all the Subaru guys, and man, what one hell of an event. I bottlenecked the course a little bit too much, coming into the big jumps. I didn't want to see anyone, crash off the 130 footer and jump off the side and kill themselves. So there was a little bit of damage in the final when, all eight of us went for one spot, and only two people really came out, but still good racing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, in talking about the Nitro World Games track, I mean, and that big booter, I got to tell you, the most not to discredit the racing, but the most impressive thing of the whole deal was you're jumping a 4-seat stock Razor over it to test it, I guess. Like, I watched that and I'm like, Trav, you're nuts, dude.
Everything flies, man. That was the thing, because So the cars didn't get in until all the drivers got in, and the team was in there. But the car that I was supposed to test was basically the car that Andy Bell jumped with Ethan Roberts on top. And me and the mouse in my pocket, I was testing the rest of the track, and I broke messed up the clutch in it. So they were fixing it, the transmission, and everything was kind of messed up. And so they were like, I don't know, and everyone started getting worried. I'm like, all right, what do we have around here on the floor? And I almost grabbed Scott's own car, but then he pulled the keys, and I looked over, and there's the Tracks 4-seater Razor. And I was like, tires aired up, and perfect, got gas, perfect, and launched it. And honestly, the Razor landed further than the cars ever did, but definitely cool to, you know, to have when your track vehicle is more badass than suspension-wise than pretty much any race vehicle. It's kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, and talking about that, I mean, obviously, you know, we remember back from X years ago and Rallycross was in there. I mean, you know, I know a lot of guys. I mean, you know, like Block, he never got that gold medal. There was a lot of guys. I mean, this is big to have meddling back in Rallycross. I mean, props to you guys. I mean, this had to have everybody, you know, lit up. And I mean, and you talk about the course build, dude, I feel like this is how rallycross tracks should be. I mean, this is what people expect from a rallycross track. I feel like sometimes rallycross got more touring car-ish, and I feel like this brings the action sports back to rallycross.
No, that's 100% kind of what I was thinking is, you know, we have these, you know, $500,000, 0-60 in 1.8 second supercars. I mean, they call them supercars for a reason. They're absolutely unbelievable. All-wheel drive, they fly, they jump, the downforce, and these cars are amazing. And then we basically go out in the parking lot and they coat it off and they put this little tiny jump in. And when we first started American Rallycross, there was huge jumps. And X Games started, not huge, but, you know, 60, 80 feet over under jumps where every lap you had to clear a gap where people going under. And, you know, one of the guys came up a little short from Europe, right as the Europeans had started to come over. And, you know, then Granholm, you know, had a big crash and, they were like, nope, that's it, no more jumps. I'm like, well, look, if you're on a supercross track, you don't make the triple, you break a wrist. That's what happens. You know, they got to understand how to do it, but they made them all tabletops, and the cars are getting 2 inches off the ground, and you're racing around the parking lot, and it's single file, and it's three road course. And I was like, no, we're going dirt. I don't care. And we had some dust issues. I thought we had it under control. We had, you know, basically a lot of guys from dirt track racing and everything, but, man, these cars – was there some dust? And Matthias Ekström and all the guys and the guys from Europe came out and we all worked together on the course after it was kind of designed, and we need this, we need that. And it was wild because there was Ford lines and there was Audi lines and there was and everyone's lobbying for different stuff. And I had to be that guy that's like, all right, look, you know, I got my team yelling at me. If we take out this corner, we're a quarter of a second slower in this car, but we're faster than the rest of the track. I was like, no, like, I can't. Like, my main, first and foremost, I got to make this the best race possible so that all the manufacturers want to come back, so that all the cars make it through without damage. And, man, that didn't work out. But at least the jump, no cars really got damaged over the jump. And that was the cool part. Everyone lived. No one got hurt. So all the cars flew well. We had to take downforce and put it on the rear of the Subaru because we're getting our car was just a little bigger than the rest of the car, so we need more front downforce to get the front to stick. And we had to take – so we normally they take the downforce off the rear to make it more equal. But as we went over the jump, first time I jumped the jump, I never jumped a car with downforce. And it had like, you know, 800 pounds of front downforce and 50 pounds of rear downforce. That thing hit the air and just nosed him. I was like, whoa, never seen this before. So it was a learning experience all around. But at the end of the day, we made a lot of mistakes, and we could have done it a lot better. But the excitement, the crowd just on their feet. I mean, I went side by side with Patrick Sandell over the jump. He kind of like bump spun me in the corner before, so I went wide side by side over 130-foot jump with Matthias Ekström underneath of us. We went in the next turn side by side. We took the high road. Matthias took the low road. I ended up went from first to third to second and then back to first in the next corner. And that's something you can't do in a lot of courses. We had huge bank corners and just multiple lines and dirt. I love dirt.
Well, and that's what makes an exciting event. You know what I mean? People, it's just like, you know, short course off-road or supercross. I mean, anything can happen in any given corner, you know, and it makes it that exciting. You know, nobody gets out in the lead and then just phones it in for the rest of the race.
Yeah, the fastest lines of the course were the outside lines, which it just hasn't happened in a GRC race in a while. And the reason that I was really adamant about that is because you can always come on the inside and get around. You know, not get around, but get at least, you know, get in front of the other car, slow his line up. But, you know, it allows room for passing. And so I qualified fourth, 0.09 hundredths of a second off a pole. So less than a tenth of a second separated first through fourth. And one of the guys took a completely, the guy that got second, Timmy, he took a completely different route. He didn't take the big jump. He took a small jump with two extra berms and a couple more insides. So completely different lines, and the entire nine car field was within 0.7 of a second. Top four less than a tenth apart, all taking different lines, all utilizing, you know, what their car does the best. And for me, that was a win.
Wow. So
and the course was 1.5 miles long, by the way, and had a bunch of jumps and a bunch of, you know, dirt pavement, everything. So it, you know, it was 1:10 lap time, and we're within you know, 1/100 of a second.
That's what I think is awesome. It was a lengthier track. It wasn't one of those, you know, crammed in a little half mile, you know, back and forth. You know, it was, you know, let you guys get some legs under you. But we're gonna jump around here a bit, because I know you only got a certain amount of time, and we got a ton to talk about. I want to go back real quick and talk about Pikes Peak. Dude, I was at Mount Washington with you when you set the record at Mount Washington. What are the comparables between Mount Washington and Pikes Peak?
Well, I was in a different, much different vehicle.
Yeah.
So Mount Washington is a lot rougher. You're in the air a lot more. You're bouncing around a lot more. It's a lot narrower. It's a lot steeper. It has a lot more corners. You know, so Mount Washington really is more like rally, where Pikes Peak is pretty open. You know, it gets wider and wider. Not every year, but I mean, since they paved it, it's a pretty wide, fast road. To the top of that mountain. So the only really similarities is that there's big cliffs, and if you go off on some corners, you're going for a big ride.
Yeah.
The difference is Pikes Peak, on most of those corners that, you know, could kill you as you tumble down for 1,000 feet, have guardrails on the outside, whereas Mount Washington doesn't have anything.
Yeah, that's Mount Washington, dude, that's gnarly. I know there was the one off Higgins had last year, and it wasn't a bad off, but it just happened in the right spot where you know, he didn't go tumbling down thousands of feet. But, yeah, you just drive up the top of Mount Washington and you look off the side and you're like, wow, this has got some serious consequences.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of roads on Mount Washington that are, like, or sections that are wide open. You know, we hit 150 miles an hour, 148 or something. I didn't do kilometers well, so it's somewhere just under 150. Or miles an hour, under 150 miles an hour. But it's almost dead straight, but you're in the air bouncing around on these bumps basically in the road at, you know, 140, 150 miles an hour. And there's 1,000-foot cliff on one side. And sometimes you go, like, I literally went over top of the edge of the road on one side just so I wouldn't hit the mountain as it came on the other side. Cause nothing is straight on Mount Washington. But if you miss your line by literally, you know, 6 inches one way or the other, you're either off the cliff or hit the wall, then probably off the cliff after that. So definitely a lot higher risk in Washington. But then when this year we're watching that the electric car go up, I mean, I thought I was watching the Jetsons. This thing was, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how fast he was going. It was amazing.
So I guess we're fast forwarding through your summer as we speak. You know, we've hit Nitro World Games, we've hit Pikes Peak, dude. We got to talk about Las Vegas though. Evel Knievel, your jumps. I mean, I know you teamed up with with Indian. You know, obviously Nitro was involved, but I mean, take us through this deal, because I know, you know, you and I have talked in the past. I mean, I know what Evel Knievel means to you and Jolene and everybody. You know what I mean, in action sports for that matter. But how did this deal get put together, man? And, I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, everybody goes, oh, Travis did that easy. But I'm looking at that, looking at the bike you jumped on and everything else, man. I mean, this was the ultimate tribute to Evel. I mean, you didn't cut any corners. You did things as authentic as you possibly could.
No, and that was just the really cool part about this. And, you know, I was kind of after landing the double flip 360. I'm like, all right, I'm done doing dumb stuff. And literally 2 days later, History Channel calls Nitro Circus and says, hey, we're looking for a big one-off live stunt, and kind of sitting down at a round table with a bunch of the guys at Nitro. And Dave Mateus goes, dude, if we're doing it on History, it has to be Evel Knievel. Like, let's call the Knievel family. And we called, called his kids basically. And we're like, would you be interested? Can someone do this, do a jump and basically do a tribute? And we started talking. We're like, and they said, yes. I'm like, all right, what are the most infamous or famous, jumps that Evel ever did? And we're like, we got to get Greyhound buses. And we called Greyhound, and they're like, heck yeah, we're in. We thought about the car jump. I was like, well, that'd be a cool one as well. But I was like, if we do anything, it's got to be Caesar's Fountain. That's the most famous, infamous stunt location in the world. And we called up, and I was expecting, like, a month reply to say no. And the next day they called back, like, yeah, this sounds good. I was like, oh, crap. All right, so we're in. I'm like, who's going to jump? And everyone's just staring at me on the other end of the table. And I was like, all right, I'll do it because this sounds way awesome. But it can't be on a modern day bike. It has to be a tribute. Like, we have to go and there has to be a cape. There has to be leathers. There has to be the Evel, the showmanship, the everything. I'm like, if we're going to do this authentically, we're going to have to go and do it on a 750 B twin. We're going to have to go back and really do what Evel, what would Evel do, it was wild because we went to Roland Sands and he got me set up and we were thinking Harley. And he said, look, he goes, Indian has put so much into the motorcycle community and they've done, so much for everything. And he goes, you're going to break some bikes. He's like, you will never land a jump without breaking his bike. And these bikes aren't meant to fly. They're not meant to do this stuff. He goes, you're going to need an R&D team that's going to not necessarily change it. Just whenever you break something, they got to weld it, fix it, and hopefully get that part a little stronger so you can do a couple jumps. And I was like, wait, a couple jumps? They're like, well, didn't you say you wanted to do this one, this one, this one? I was like, well, no, I wanted to do, like, well, what's the biggest one? And like, they're all amazing. We should do them all. I was like, man, be careful what you ask for, because it's just my minute. And I tell you what, it turned out really awesome. It's supposed to be just a tribute. And, obviously NBC, or sorry, History, built it up a little bit more than what it should have been as far as, technical levels. Those motorcycles, I mean, it was a lot harder than I expected, to be perfectly honest. The landing it smashed me. Just because it's got 3 inches of suspension travel. It's like jumping a mountain bike, basically, 200 feet. But a mountain bike that weighs, 450 pounds. So, but yeah, it was interesting. But at the end of the day, I thought it was an awesome opportunity to bring my dad's generation together with kind of the generation after me and, show my dad that the stuntman hasn't died and show the next generation where the stuntman really came from. So I think all in all it was pretty good. I mean, would have loved to have gone a little more in detail on, the guys that have jumped in action sports today, with Mike Metzger and backflipping, Caesar's Fountain and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they did kind of sensationalize it for TV, but it was the highest rated show in over 10 years on History. So they knew what they were doing on that end, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Which brings us to, I guess, what you're doing very soon. MX of Nations, man. Like I said, you're just rolling and rolling and rolling. I know you're in Minneapolis for Nitro Circus right now, but MX of Nations coming up. This is a big one, man. I mean, take us through. I just think it's awesome that you're racing a two-stroke, but I mean, kind of fast forward us to this because I know it benefits Puerto Rico, and there's a lot going on in this.
Well, how much time do you have, Jim?
We got as much time as you want, Trav.
Yeah, oh man, this started out Ronnie Mac. Believe it or not, actually, really smart guy. I mean, he's one of, if not the highest paid or highest show feed athletes in motorcycles, point blank, bar none. Bigger than Tomac, bigger than, like, he's got more following, more everything. And it's hard for the racing industry to understand. It's hard for me to understand, to be perfectly honest. But we have a Nitro Circus here and there, and Ronnie's the first person to sign autographs. All the kids, he's good with the kids, he's good with the families. He's out there 24/7 talking to people, hanging out. really like what 90s motocross was, you know, just like, just that guy that's there and everyone can hang out and talk to and relate with. And then he's the last person at the bar with the rednecks at the end of the night. So he covers all of his bases there, and the crowd loves him. And he went to Gabby, who is the head of Puerto Rico. He goes, look, because I know you guys are struggling financially, just with the hurricane that came out and the disaster that was down there, almost 2 years ago now. And he's like, look, I can help Puerto Rico motocross. He goes, we're going to raise, and he shot for the moon. He's like, we're going to raise $1 million. Honestly, with Ronnie Mack was still involved, I wouldn't put it past him too far to be able to do that. I mean, on the first day, in one day, when we announced the team at Unadilla, we raised $15,000 just in merch sales. And sent him a check that Wednesday, like literally, 4 days after announcing the team. So Ronnie Mack has a big following, and it was pretty rad, but the motorcycle community was not having it. They said, look, even though we went through FIM and everything and Ustream and we had it approved, I was like, look, Ronnie, we're drawing too much attention away from this event, which in my opinion is the greatest event in motocross, by just the negative of the internal press. Even if the people want to see it and it's going to add a lot of people to the event and everyone's going to be stoked and doing some good calls. I'm like, I'm not willing personally to put myself out there on that far of a limb to go against the industry that's built me. Even though I think, we were planning on doing a video project and planning on doing a lot of good and everything. I'm like, it's just too far out there. So Ron stepped back in a very professional way. And it's like, look, I understand. He goes, I love the moto industry. They haven't loved me back, but the fans have. And I want to do, I think he's going to be there and still support Puerto Rico and still support this whole project. He's coming down to Puerto Rico to actually swing a hammer. And I don't know how much we'll be able to do, but, we're at almost $200,000 raised right now. We got Kevin Windham out of retirement on the team. I mean, this guy, he's so a caveman. It's awesome. He's riding for Geico because, I mean, so easy a caveman can do it. Like, this guy, literally 230 pounds straight off the couch. Retirement has done this man well. But he agreed. He's like, look, this is an awesome cause. We can raise some money. And, so like K-Dub and I will probably go jump on machines and we'll go fix up the three big moto trucks and fix up some roads that have been closed down for a while. Ryan Sipes and his buddies are going down there with disaster relief, and basically they're swinging some hammers and putting some roofs on some houses. We got Nate Wessel also going down. He's a ramp builder, built all the ramps for Flex Games for years, and then for me and Nitro Circus and all this stuff, and all going down free of charge, for the cause. And even if they can put roofs on, on six or seven houses while we're down there for a week, that's six or seven families that aren't living with a tarp over their roof. And the moto industry will, fix up the tracks, for the guys that are still riding down there and try to get those guys back going. And actually bringing my daughters, my family down. And we're going to go up to the mountains where there's a lot of poverty. And it's right before Christmas when we go down there. And I told my daughters, I said, look, we're not getting gifts this year, but we're going to go and we're going to give a bunch of gifts out to kids that don't normally get this. And it was funny because my one daughter was like, well, Santa Claus, I give them gifts. I'm like, yeah, sometimes Santa Claus has a hard time getting everybody. So we're going to go be Santa's little helpers down here. So pretty cool. I think it'll be, like I said, we're not going to change the world, but I think we'll change a few people's world. And at the end of the day, it's a really cool project. And hey, I get to ride I get to ride the motocross nations again. Unfortunately, an old injury kind of flared up, and I'm barely walking right now, and I haven't ridden a motorcycle in 3 weeks coming into this, and it's been a catastrophe as far as my riding goes, but I'll give it hell still, and we'll see what we got.
Yeah, I know you showed a picture of your knees, and I'm like, holy crap, man. I mean, and I think, to race competitively in in motocross or supercross, I mean, it's another level of training. I know, just talking to guys like Dungy, and he had said, like, people don't realize, like, how much you have to put in to be competitive at that level.
Oh, it's beyond. But it's not like normal sports. Where when I was amateur, I was like, oh, I'll train so hard, I'll be in the best shape. Yeah, you will, until you have a broken ankle. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well, I can't run, and my knee's shot, so I can't bicycle. And then you start swimming, and then you dislocate your shoulder, and you're like, oh, crap, how the hell am I supposed to stand there for this? You know, I can't run, I can't do anything. So you show up to the races, and you do the best you can on adrenaline, and that's honestly what I'm going to be doing here. I just took a 4-month with Smagical. It was horrible timing, great timing, however you want to look at it. Through the boot campaign, some military contacts, we were looking in for Nitro Circus for mostly for head trauma stuff, but they had talked about this Virginia High Performance place where they get guys basically that, you know, doctors say they'll never walk again, or they'll, you know, their heads are messed up, or their elbows, or they're missing a leg, or whatever, all the top military guys and SEALs, and they get these guys back performing, you know, to the highest of what anyone would ever imagine. So I took Phil down there. I was like, Phil, we're going. And we spent a month just physical therapy, and I spent it. It's funny because Phil came in a wheelchair, and they were like, said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to ride motorcycles for a living again. And they looked at him, and they looked at me, who walked in, and they said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to walk normal again, and when I fall over, I don't want to break in half. So we had obviously goals, but at the end of the month, I wasn't in better shape, but my body was actually working normal for the first time in ever, you know, since I was 14 and blew up my ACL and broke my pelvis for the first time. And that was good. It was a good start. It was a good, healthy start. And then I made it a week on the motorcycle and I still broke. So that was a month ago. And now I'm coming in to the biggest race probably ever held on U.S. soil, racing a 2-stroke for the territory of Puerto Rico. And I can't even bend my leg far enough to get to the foot peg. So, I mean, perfect, right?
Yeah, it sounds par. Yeah, I was gonna say, it sounds par for the course for you, buddy. I mean, you know, you worse has happened, right?
For sure, for sure.
All right, Trav. Well, dude, it is always fun catching up. I know we got to do it more often. I know at some point I text with Tommy and Jolene all the time. I got to get back there and have some fun with you guys, maybe this fall or winter, if you ever get a break in your crazy schedule. Let's put it that way.
Dude, you have to come. We've got just the raddest razor course on earth. I keep telling you this. It's about a mile and got huge jumps. Everything's, you know, pretty safe. All tabletops. It's just super rad. You got it. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Yeah, well, I'll text you when we get off air. We'll line something up. I know Wessel, he texts me regularly, you know, and it's like, I just got to get back there with my quote family back there and have some fun, man. So looking forward to it. You know, good luck at MX and Nations, man, and always fun catching up, TP.
I'm going to need it.
All right. That was Travis Pastrana. Never disappoints. Definitely going to be fun to watch him at MX of Nations. Big shout out to my friend Dave Mason from betonline.ag for calling into the show as well. You know, if you liked this show, I'm sure you're going to love the official Lakers podcast on Podcast One Sportsnet. Join Emmy Award-winning reporter Susie Schuster and co-host Aaron Lasule as they discuss the Lakers' news of the day and break down the upcoming season with some of the biggest guests around, including recent interviews with Shaq, Magic Johnson, and LeBron James. Check out the official Lakers podcast every week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure and continue to get Project Action, as well as my other show, The Down and Dirty Radio Show, on iTunes. Make sure and go over there, hit the subscribe button, leave a rating or review if you get a chance. And if you leave a review, don't forget, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username, the body of the review, and I will follow you back on social media. Also, speaking of social media, it's at JimBeaver15, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Got a second Instagram account called at Down and Dirty Show. Join my Facebook group. Check out all the content we drop at downanddirtyshow.com daily. And, man, keep giving me your feedback. I love guests, suggestions. I love to hear what you guys think of the show. I know we've changed the format a bit since the beginning. We're 100-and-something episodes in, but that was totally because you fans spoke and I listened. So Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. We got to do a new Q&A episode pretty soon. I've got a bunch of questions starting to pile up, so make sure and get those to me, and we will do a Q&A episode at some point. It's going to be probably at least a month out, though. I mean, we did Natalie Ava Marie last week. Amazing interview with her. Check it out. Travis Pastrana this week. We got Eddie Braun, Sean Whalen, Victoria Arlen, Matt DeAndrea. We got a stack list the next few weeks here on Project Action, so be looking forward to those. Take care. Be safe. As always, game on.